Thought Bubble Audio.
Look, up in the sky!
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Welcome to Beer with Geeks with Tim and Frank.
Who are you?
I'm Batman.
I am Iron Man.
Your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Hi, Christopher. I'm Nero.
My name is Inigo Montoya.
You're a wizard, Harry.
A couple of guys with a couple of beers and a whole lot of pop culture nostalgia.
Make it so, number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
Name the dog in the ant.
Life finds a way.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Now sit back and crack open a cold one. Because it's time for Beer with Geeks.
It comes in pints?
Shaken, not stirred.
Great Scott!
I was way off. I knew it started with an S, though.
Hi, and welcome to Beer with Geeks, where two geeks geek out with beer. I'm Tim, and with me, as always, is my llama, not alpaca friend, Frank. How are you today?
I am fine. How are you?
I'm fine. Do you know the difference between an alpaca and a llama?
I think we're about to learn that over the course of this next half hour or so.
I think so. Welcome to our episode on David Attenborough.
Yes.
The life on the farms.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yep, that's what we're talking about today. Totally.
Mm-hmm.
Totally that.
Shearing and more shearing and other things that happen on farms.
Farm stuff.
With alpacas and llamas. Mm-hmm. Yeah, very good. What are you drinking?
I am drinking the Ipswich Ale Brewery's Sessionable IPA.
Oh, that's very good. Mm-hmm. Is that what you handed me? I haven't even looked at it yet. Oh, no, it's not. Oh, I'm... What does yours taste like? What is yours?
Mine... It's an IPA, but it's a session IPA, right? So it's kind of a lower alcohol content. It's only 3.9% alcohol content, but it's very tasty and but not overly bitter. So you can actually drink this for a while. But you have a different one there.
I have Vertical Drop Robust Red Ale by Canna Creek Brewing Company.
Nice.
I've never heard of any of this.
I had not either. I don't know if we mentioned this, but so a very kind relative of my wife's gave us for our wedding a subscription to a Beer of the Month Club. So for the last 3 or 4 months, I think it was 3 months, and we just got the last shipment, we're getting a dozen beers and a sort of a variety pack of different craft brews that a lot of them I've never heard of. So yeah, I've never heard of Ipswich Ale Brewery, never heard of Canna Creek either, but they're good beers.
This is very good. It's a malty, kind of lightly hoppy. Mm-hmm. Makes you want to climb a mountain.
Mm.
Climb every mountain.
Well, you know, if you did climb a mountain.
Drink every beer.
If you did climb a mountain, I would hope that the king didn't try to like buy your mountain, take your mountain away from you and to build his ultimate dream home, his birthday present to him.
He was so happy, though.
So we are not talking about David Attenborough.
No.
We are talking about...
I hope people didn't turn off when they thought that was serious. David
I hope they read the description and understood that.
And I like David Attenborough documentaries.
Sure, I got nothing against the guy.
No, absolutely not.
I got nothing against him.
No.
But, oh, man.
Yeah, so... What were you saying?
I was going to say we were going to talk about one of my all-time favorite movies.
And mine.
The Emperor's New Groove.
Emperor's New Groove. Now, we've been meaning to talk about this movie
for years now.
Years. So we've been doing this podcast for what?
Going on 3 years.
Yeah. So for almost 3 years, we every couple of months we're like, maybe we should talk about The Emperor's New Groove.
Yep.
And we don't. For whatever reason. And this time it was suggested to us.
Yes.
And so finally it was boom. It's time for The Emperor's New Groove.
It's time.
Thank you, Mary, for the suggestion. Here we go.
Yeah.
Emperor's New Groove.
Yes.
What are your thoughts on it?
I freaking love this movie. So it came out when I was probably in high school?
Sure. Yeah.
Or something?
Yeah.
And it was immediately like a favorite between me and my group of friends. Like we were quoting it constantly.
This was one of the first ones I remember in Disney's kind of slate running off of the Renaissance that didn't do very well, but also wasn't a musical. It was
right. It
was like this weird, like weirdly inserted movie with David Spade.
Right. David Spade, John Goodman, like very...
Eartha Kitt. Patrick Warburton.
Pretty random.
Yeah.
Like pretty random group of people, but great group of people. When you put them all together, and it made for a hysterical movie that I still enjoy watching to this day. It's been a few years actually since I've seen it, but I don't need to see it. Like to know all the lines. It is one of those things that next time I watch it, which will probably be soon now that we're talking about it,
yeah.
I will probably put it on and just start quoting it beginning to end and be like, wow, I didn't realize that was also in there.
Yeah.
Didn't realize it was also in my head.
Yeah. It's definitely still in my head. There's no question. I was scrolling through GIFs of it early today after we had decided that we were going to do this episode, and like half the stuff in there was like, right. This is so great. Like, we're about to go over a waterfall, aren't we?
Big sharp rock at the bottom.
Most likely. Bring it on.
It's just, it's so much of that kind of dry humor and like, gallows humor a little bit.
Yay, I'm a llama again.
Yeah.
Wait. I was turned into a cow. Can I go home?
You're excused. It's extremely quotable. And yeah, it's not a musical. Although for some reason in my mind, I kind of like...
Tom Jones at the beginning.
You got Tom Jones at the beginning.
Cusco. I'm sorry, you threw off the Emperor's groove.
I'm sorry! I remember that moment from the trailers for that movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
The waterfall scene was in the trailers a lot.
Yes, it was. Too. Yes, it was. Bring it on. Yep, that was in there. Who do you have a favorite character in this film?
That's a good question. I think it's Kronk.
Kronk's pretty
think he's my favorite. No, it's Kronk. Yeah, okay. It's Kronk. Yeah. For a second, I was like, maybe it's the squirrel.
squeak. You owe me a new acorn.
Your Kronk's pretty good. Do that again.
You owe me a new acorn.
That's pretty good.
God, even on your birthday.
Yeah. It's your birthday. So, I don't know if you know.
But God, he's doing his own theme music.
How'd you make it back before us? No, no, no. By all accounts, it doesn't make sense. Oh, well. No, do you know that every year, our friend Andrew, on our birthdays, we send each other back and forth. We send the
happy birthday
from all of us to you. We wish it was a birthday so we could party too.
Hey.
I was actually in a restaurant with two friends pretty recently, and the crew came out for somebody's birthday, and they started singing that song. And so, like, at the table to myself, I was like, happy birthday from all of us. My friends are looking at me like, what? Why do you know this?
Why do you know the words to the fake happy birthday song?
It's the Emperor's New Groove. It's the best birthday song besides Happy Birthday. It's actually, I think I might like it better than Happy Birthday.
Yeah. It's your birthday. I love the kids too, Pacha's kids, when they're like, nah, yeah, that was in the trailers too.
The waitress at the restaurant.
Welcome to Harry's mug of meat or something.
Uh-huh. Oh, it's our honeymoon. Bless you for coming out in public. Mazel tov.
Mazel tov. Fantastic.
It's all good.
What is it about that movie? I mean, it's there's a pretty good story, right?
What do you think the story is, Frank?
Okay, so the story, to break it down real basic, is there's this terrible, selfish emperor dude who has made a bunch of enemies because he's just terrible to all his subjects. What would you call Yzma? What's her title?
She's like the Grand Vizier, isn't she?
I don't know. She's somebody who's in the royalty somehow.
She's like the advisor to the king.
Sure.
Yeah.
She feels betrayed and she's kind of like a witch-ish, so she tries to kill him, but instead she accidentally makes a potion that turns him into a llama thanks to her friend Kronk.
Right.
And so he becomes a llama. He goes to the very villager who was trying to save his village, but the emperor was like, nope, I'm going to put a pool there instead. And they go
on this birthday gift to me. I'm so happy.
So he could very easily let like the emperor like die or whatever, but instead he's like, all right, I'll help you get back to your castle and, you know, get back to your life. And so they spend the whole movie trying to get back to his castle, back to his life. They hit all these different pitfalls along the way. Eventually they get back there and the emperor has a choice now. Do I actually help this guy or do I not? And also, please turn me back into a person. And in the end, he decides to be a nice guy and he builds his thing on another hill
just right next door so everybody gets to use it.
Yay.
Do you, even when Cusco is being unlikable when he's being a jerk. Mm-hmm. Do you find him likable?
I find it funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's very funny. I mean, David Spade was like perfect for that, for uh-huh. that role, because he's got such the Napoleon complex of being like the little guy
yeah.
who like mm-hmm. thinks he's, you know, big, powerful ball of charisma, as he calls himself.
Mm-hmm.
so, you know, like that's,
yeah.
That he was like perfect casting for that reason, I think.
Yeah, I agree. And this might have been it definitely wasn't the first thing I ever saw John Goodman in or heard his voice, but it certainly kicked off John Goodman's like, hey, I can also do voice
sure,
acting.
Sure, yeah. Because Monsters, Inc. was around the same year, I think.
Monsters, Inc. and Emperor's New Groove came out the same year.
I want to say, if not the same year, within a year. I think 02, 03.
I'm going to look up.
I'm pretty sure they're both 2003. I'm pretty sure they're both 2003. But John Goodman's had a career. I mean, John Goodman is, you know, he's been around for decades.
Yeah.
And was around before that. But I think for a lot of people our age, maybe that was the first exposure they'd had to him.
Emperor's New Groove was 2000. Monsters, Inc. was 2001.
Oh, really? Okay. Mm-hmm. I was a little off. All right.
But was
they were within a year of each other still.
Prime exposure.
Yeah.
That's prime exposure to John Goodman,
I guess. Yeah.
That and the Flintstones.
Flintstones, yeah, sure.
And, yeah. When you were a kid, like, going, because like all these Disney movies were musicals, did you feel like, where's the music?
Not really, because I mean, there had been Disney movies without music.
Yeah.
Before this.
Sure.
You know, like Great Mouse Detective or stuff like that.
Oh,
like,
yeah, good point. It has songs. Oh, Rattigan.
Oh, yeah, Rattigan. I guess you're right.
Yeah. Goodbye so soon.
But there definitely are Disney animated movies that are not musicals, aren't there? Before this?
Yeah.
Even though I'm struggling to think of one right now. There must be.
Yes.
All right, well I'll look it up.
Oliver and Company isn't a musical?
Oh, sure it is. Billy Joel wrote all the songs for that movie.
Did he sing the songs,
yes.
though? But did the character sing the
yes.
songs? I've never seen it.
Yeah. Huh.
Yeah. There has to be. Oh, The Black Cauldron. Nailed it.
There you go.
Yeah.
Pete's Dragon, does that one have songs?
Pete's Dragon has songs.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've never seen that one.
Sword in the Stone is not really.
That's true.
A
that's
musical.
True. Okay, there you go.
It's got Higgity Piggity, but it's
yeah.
not.
Yeah. Bambi?
Pigatus.
Bambi?
Ooh, I don't know if Bambi has.
I don't think there's any songs with Bambi.
Oh, did you see the Golden Globes with Kristen Wiig and Steve Carell?
Oh my God.
With the Bambi.
I can't. Oh, yes.
It was
yes.
so good.
I hope those two host the Golden Globes next year, because
uh-huh.
that was incredible.
Yep.
That was an incredible, like, it was the best part of the whole show. It was the best part
yeah.
of the entire show.
I actually didn't watch it. I only saw Meryl's speech, and I saw I saw that. Yeah.
They were the best part of the entire show, bar none. But yes, that was very funny, Bambi stuff. If there is, like, one or two songs in Bambi, even if there are, it's still not a musical.
Yeah.
You know? Just like having Higgins figure this whatever in the Sword in the Stone doesn't make any musical. So there had been non-Disney musicals, so it didn't really faze me. And I didn't realize how much I was going to enjoy this movie. I think I saw it in theaters with my friends.
I didn't see it in theaters. I was introduced to it by a friend.
Okay.
I
want to say I saw it with a group, and then we watched it to death, like once it came out on DVD, and we just adored that movie throughout high school. So much so that when Kronk's New Groove came out, direct to DVD, mm-hmm. I bought it on like release day.
Did you really?
Oh, I was so excited for Kronk's New Groove.
I've never seen it. Is it good?
It's fine. It's,
yeah.
you know, your basic like direct to DVD sequel.
Sure.
For Disney, but it was pretty funny.
He had a TV show too.
Yeah, like The Emperor's New School or something. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe I saw a few minutes of one episode once.
Yeah.
And it was basically like, it was like those 90s or early 2000s, I guess late 90s TV shows, Disney Channel shows, where it was like Aladdin TV show or Lion King TV or whatever they did. Like,
yeah, we're doing
like,
a thing.
Like,
yeah.
Where they basically would do like, what are the three or four like funny moments in that movie? And let's put those in every episode. So like the pull the lever, Kronk, wrong lever. They do that every
Why do
episode.
We even have that lever?
They did that whole thing mm-hmm. every time. They did the whole, you know, the whole to kill time, basically the whole roller coaster ride to get into the lab and all that. Mm-hmm. They do that every time. I guess I saw more than one episode. I must have seen two or three. Mm. And I was just like, this is dumb. This is just, they just took the visual gags and stuck it in and then put like some like, you know, I hesitate to call it story around it. So it wasn't a very good show.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite character?
Probably Kronk. Kronk.
Kronk.
He's just, I mean, he's the comic relief in a movie that's already hilarious.
Oh, that's a good point, because they're all funny, you know.
Every one of them.
Yeah, maybe Pacha is like the least
funny. even he has funny moments.
Yes, he does.
His wife is great.
Oh,
Wendy Malick. Yeah. She's fantastic. Yeah. I can't remember what her character's name is. But, yeah, Pacha and his wife are fantastic. The kids are funny. Yzma's funny. The villain is funny. She is funny. She's just, and then I'll
put that box in the box.
Okay. I'll hail that box to myself. And when it arrives, I'll smash it with her. Or to save on postage, I'll just poison him with this.
Take it, Kronk. Feel the power.
I can feel it. One of my favorite little gags about that is
when he lifts his hands.
He pats the little vial with both hands and like lifts his hands off of it, and it just stays in place where it is.
I know. That's one of mine too.
And he's like, wait a second. Is Kronk like a wizard and doesn't know it? Like, it's just,
oh, I can feel it.
Oh, I can feel it. Yeah, that's so great. It's, Do you
have something like the asparagus in her tea? Is it asparagus?
Oh,
or
God. Pump? How long has that been there?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
What were you going to ask?
I was going to ask, do you have a favorite like gag or scene or?
Oh, good question. I think I have quotes that are absolutely my favorite. I actually really love the montage of everyone, them all trying to get back to the castle.
Yes.
I guess. But I think the restaurant is my favorite bit of the movie. There's so much good stuff.
There's a lot there.
With him cooking in the kitchen. He's like, yeah. I'm busy right now. I can't.
And they're walking in and out, like placing their orders.
Yeah. It's almost like, not Noises Off. You ever seen Noises Off?
I haven't, but I've heard great things.
It's like, it's just like in and out the door. Like nobody knows exactly where anybody is. It's just, it's great comedic timing. Who directed this movie?
Great question.
I already used my lookup, so you can
I will gladly use mine. I almost used mine a minute ago, but I didn't end up doing that.
Because the direction of like the comic timing is better than, you know what it is? Most Disney movies aren't really comedies.
That's true.
They have comical characters in them.
Yeah.
But this was a flat out, we made a very dry comedy.
Mark Dindal is the director. He also directed, he worked on Little Mermaid and Aladdin, doing visual effects. That's interesting.
Let's see the director guy.
Chicken Little. Oh, that makes sense, actually. That's actually a very similar sense of humor, yeah. Chicken Little. And then Cats Don't Dance.
Oh, Cats Don't Dance.
I don't know.
I've seen Cats Don't Dance.
Really?
Yeah. It's cute.
Yeah.
Is it
the same sense of humor?
Yes, actually. And actually, there's a cat in there that kind of actually looks like the character design for Yzma at the end of the film.
Interesting.
I've never really connected that
Is
together.
Is that my voice?
Yeah.
Is that my voice?
Oh, well. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so he did a great job with this, I must say. And he was, looks like he's been at Disney forever, and he did a bunch of, he did effects, visual effects and animation for decades, it looks like 20 years before he finally started directing. And wow, I mean, Chicken Little is actually kind of an underrated film.
You know, I've never seen Chicken Little.
It's pretty funny. It's not great. It's not legendary.
Sure.
It won't be long remembered, but it's pretty funny.
Well, do you think the Emperor's Groove is going to be long remembered?
You know, probably not as much as I think it should be, but
it's not really counted in that like upper echelon of Disney films.
It's not. It's funny. I read David Spade's autobiography a few months ago.
Really?
Which is really good. Yeah.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
I like SNL and I wanted to.
Okay.
Basically every SNL autobiography that's out there, I read them from all the different cast members. And so he actually spent a decent chunk of the book talking about this movie. I mean, partly because it's one of the few successful things he's done since SNL, but he referenced it a lot and talked about it and was like, you know, I'm like these days I'm known, you know, for a couple of my SNL characters and for like Just Shoot Me and For the Emperor's New Groove, and that's kind of, you know, that's kind of what people remember me for. And then all the terrible Adam Sandler movies he's done since then. But
right.
But yeah, so is it will be long remembered? I don't know. But people, he said that it's one of the things people come up to him, approach him on the street the most, and like quote to him.
The Emperor's New Groove. They just go up to him and be like, he's got that scary tree. Scary tree.
I forgot about the scary tree. Yeah.
Boom, bam, baby.
Llama face.
Llama face. Oh, man. Oh, it's great when he's like walking around ordering Pacho around and he doesn't realize that he's a llama.
Oh, yeah.
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 That's really funny. He's like, okay, what? Talking llama. Talking llama, where? Where's talking llama? And he like looks in his reflection then, and that's when.
Llama face. What was the thing with the jaguars in that movie?
They were going through the forest, and is that after the waterfall?
Scary tree. He was like, oh, it's like, don't go into that forest. Oh, yeah. You know, don't go by yourself.
Ooh,
yeah.
The scary tree.
There's a funny
moment. Maybe it's in that forest where you see some little insect. It's like they're panning over. They're doing like an establishing shot sort of the forest, and you see in a spider's web, there's a little bug stuck in a spider's web.
Yes. And the bigger spider comes down.
The little bugs are like, help me! Help me! And then the spider comes and eats it up, and you hear, as the spider is chewing it up, going, too late.
I don't remember that at all.
It's such a...
I remember the bug.
Little moment. He's like screaming for help, and then like, too late.
is there? Nope. I had a question, and it's gone.
Sorry. I think that so. This is one of the last movies that was made before sort of Pixar and Disney kind of came together, like merged,
yes.
or before Disney bought Pixar, well, I should say.
Yep, I think you're right.
Yeah. It's one of the last ones. It's interesting because you can kind of feel the influence a little bit of the Pixar storytelling structure.
That is true. And Pixar movies are generally funnier than the straight 90s Disney movies.
That's true.
They have funny characters, I think, but right. You know, but like. Like, think of, like, even Toy Story or Monsters, Inc. Like, they're all funny in some way.
There are a lot more jokes packed into those,
right?
It's a lot
of dry humor.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah, that's true. Like, a humor that might appeal to adults more.
Mm-hmm. I think 90s Disney movies or 80s, 90s Disney movies, there's, like, gags, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But there's dry humor in Pixar movies, which makes them, you know, just even...
The Mr. Potato Head type of humor.
Right, yeah. Has anybody seen my... Oh, what is he looking for? His nose? I can't remember.
I can't remember right now.
Yeah. Even like when Mr. Potato takes off his lips and puts them on his butt. And he's talking about it's so good.
That's.
You know, today when Damon said, I'm close by. He said, I'm just two blocks away. The first thing that came to my head is,
I'm just a couple of blocks away. Bo Peep.
Yep. But I was driving and I was like, I can't find this incentive.
Find the gif.
Yeah. I can't find this incentive.
I didn't think of it, but that's really great.
Yeah.
Just a couple of blocks away. Yeah. Oh, it's great. When you think of this movie, like, what's the first thing you think of? Emperor's New Groove.
That's probably It's Your Birthday.
Okay. Nice.
Actually,
wow, so that scene really is like your favorite.
Well, I think I was about to say this and we got sidetracked earlier. So our friend Andrew, did I say this?
Someone sang this in a restaurant?
No, I did get sidetracked. Okay, I got sidetracked by my own story.
You sidetracked yourself.
Wow. That might be a first for me.
Just played yourself.
Yeah. Our friend Andrew, every year on our birthdays, that's what we send to one another.
Right.
And so I think maybe that's why it's in my head.
Sure.
Because it's just, you know, we usually like would type out the whole song or, you know, send the clip. I think this year he just sent me, It's Your Birthday.
Nothing else necessary.
That's the middle. Yeah.
Just that.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah. What do you think of? Like, what's the first thing when you think of this movie?
First thing I think of is probably the, and then I'll put that box in a box, and then I'll put that box in another box.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's
that
great.
Whole thing. I'll turn him into a flea. A harmless little flea.
Flea.
Yeah. Yeah.
Eartha Kitt does not get mentioned with this movie.
It's true.
Lot.
Yeah. This is something that I feel like could have been, maybe, she, you know, like by the time she was older, mm-hmm. her name recognition for younger kids, like people younger than who are old enough to remember Santa Baby.
Yes.
Right. Any younger than that.
I hate that song.
I don't like it either, but that's what she's known for, really. Right.
Catwoman.
And Catwoman. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah. But those are the two things she's best known for. Mm-hmm. So any younger than, like, you know, growing up in the 60s or 70s, and you're pretty much probably don't know who she was.
Yep.
Or at least in my age, I didn't know who she was back then. Sure. 2000.
Not when this came out. No.
Sure. So, I probably, you know, I think she doesn't get enough credit. It's too bad. This could have been the thing that, like, made her be remembered by younger generations, but
yeah,
I think just the name recognition wasn't there, which is too bad because she really, like, nailed this. It was so funny.
So good.
So good.
And this is Yzma, living proof that dinosaurs once roamed the earth.
That's right. Yeah. Oh, see, there's so many little nuggets like that that are just so funny.
Like when Kronk busts in on her and she's got the cucumbers in her face. This had better be good.
What about when she's like, well, I bet you weren't expecting this? And she, like, pulls her skirt up a little bit and they're like, no!
No!
And then it's just like a knife. And like, okay, yeah, that's right. So good. It's so good.
Oh man,
that's good laugh.
All right, well, you could find us on beerwithgeeks.com. You can also find us at thoughtbubbleaudio.com. You can find us at beerwithgeeks@gmail.com, Twitter, and Facebook. You can rate and review us on iTunes,
that's
Google
right.
Play, Satchel, and Overcast, all things like that.
That's right. I actually want to read an email that we got from Giovanni. Says, hello, Frank and Tim. Just finished listening to your Rogue One review episode. Wanted to share my thoughts and a quick question. Really liked the movie. Didn't quite love Leia and Tarkin being CG. I really liked the movie. Didn't quite love it. Leia and Tarkin didn't really bother me, and I was very entertained by the action. First two acts dragged a bit for me, but by the end, I was really into it. Really liked K2SO. Wanted to see more of Chirrut and Baze. Good, but not original trilogy good. He said, in our episode, you briefly mentioned the Han Solo movie. Based on the little tidbits that have been dropping recently, how do you feel about the project? I'm really looking forward to it and wanted to hear your thoughts. Sincerely, Giovanni. I'm really excited for the Han Solo movie.
And I'm kind of...
You're not.
Ambivalent.
Really?
To it. Yeah.
So, like, Alden Ehrenreich, I've never...
I was ambivalent to this, too, and I loved it, so what do I know?
To Rogue One, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I was slightly ambivalent towards this. I'm a little more excited for Han Solo. I'm not excited necessarily for a Han Solo movie in principle.
Yep.
But seeing the so, like, Alden Ehrenreich, I've never seen him in anything.
I've seen him in a few things. And so this is weird. I like the directors.
Uh-huh.
I like the writers, which are the same people.
Right, right. Lord Miller, right?
Lord Miller. The cast is great. But I'm like, I just... I don't know.
I like
Han Solo, but I just don't want soloing.
Okay, fair. Yeah. I was not excited when they first said we're going to do a Han Solo movie just because I'm like, that just, I mean, like, I love Han Solo, but, like, I feel like there's so much potential to go wrong there that I'd just rather not.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But Donald Glover as Lando has me really excited.
Yeah, that was the thing that really was like, maybe okay.
Yeah, that started to tip the scales for me too. So that part has me pretty excited. I hope they do the story justice. I hope they do him justice, and I hope they come up with a fun story. Rogue One gives me good hope that they'll do a good job with it.
And we know Emilia Clarke is going to be in it.
I forgot that.
Woody Harrelson, at the time of recording this,
that's a rumor as we record this, but
yeah, that he was in talks to be like the mentor character.
That'd be pretty cool.
Which makes sense.
Yeah.
So, like, all of that, like, essentially, I go, yeah, okay, sounds fun.
Yeah.
But we've been over this. I really like Star Wars because of the fantasy aspects
of
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Han Solo, particularly at a prequel Han Solo, mm-hmm. is, like, not about any of that stuff.
Not about the simple tricks
but
and nonsense.
Neither was Rogue One for the most part, really. But I still enjoyed
it.
I still really enjoyed that.
I think that having the writers and directors they have, you know, Lord and Miller, who did the Lego Movie, and they are the creators and showrunners of Last Man on Earth on Fox. Like, they've got a good track record. Yep. They've done some great stuff, some stuff that I really enjoy.
Lego Movie, it was enough of a good track record for me.
Yeah. Are they doing the Lego Batman movie too, I assume? Or are they involved?
No, I think they're producing. But they didn't direct it.
So they're not like hands-on. Anyway, thank you, Giovanni, for the email. We're both... I'm more excited than Tim, it sounds like, about the Han Solo movie.
I mean, I'm going to say it's Star Wars.
We know so little about it that there's hardly enough to be really excited about. So we'll obviously see it regardless.
Yeah. I think the anthology films seem to be about things that, like, the parts of the Star Wars universe that I'm not attracted to in the same way, which is fine because other people are. And so by all means, make those movies. Not every movie has to be for my personal interest.
Sure.
And I will see it. Prove me wrong. Make me love it more.
Exactly.
I already do.
Yeah.
Certainly. So I'm cautiously optimistic they have a good Disney with Star Wars so far, two movies in, has a good track record.
That's right.
So yeah. I'm sure it'll be fine.
I'm sure it'll be, very good.
They will not let it fail. They can't.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Well, I think that wraps it up for us today.
It does. Okay. Well, and then until next time, cheers.